Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Happy Self Podcast, where we talk happiness from both a professional and a personal point of view. I'm Tracy Fox, your host, and for those of you who do not know me, I'm an NYU certified executive life coach. I work with clients all over the world, and I've written 4 books on happiness. Please feel free to reach out to me at my website, tracyfox.net. Along with my co-host, Kara Duncan, we invite you to sit back, laugh, listen, and learn as you discover your happy self. So today we are going to look at the very sensitive subject of grief, as many people either have experienced it or certainly will experience it. And before we jump into sort of what it is and what you can do about it, do you have any personal experience with that?
Or? Do you have like a definition of grief? Is there like a definition? I know there's the stages of grief.
Yeah.
Is there like a definition of what grief is?
So grief, and I actually took this from the American Psychiatric Association. Grief is the response to loss, particularly the loss of someone or something that has died or to which a bond of affection was formed. Although conventionally focused on the emotional response to loss, it also has physical, cognitive, behavioral, social, cultural, spiritual, and physical dimensions.
Wow. So you see how deep that is. And that's so interesting because I think one tends to always think of grief as just death, but it really can be a loss. And I love that that's part of the definition because it can be a loss of a friendship, right?
Absolutely.
People grieve things like that. And I was really, so that's what I was thinking about that. I mean, conventionally, and most of us immediately go to a funeral and the sympathy card, right? But grief can be a loss. And usually I think we, most of us, or I certainly think more of a relationship, but loss, there's a lot of different ways we lose and can grieve something.
Yes, people lose their homes in fires, lose a pet.
A job. I mean,
a breakup, that can be completely devastating. There's a lot.
Because, you know, even when I say a job, you think, oh, that's not really grieful, but there's so many levels of grief, right? So a job can certainly be.
If you had a whole community of people there or,
right
all of it.
There's your livelihood, your years of experience, blah, blah, blah. So,
So what would you say is your biggest experience with grief?
So mine, you know, as many people have lost a parent, mine was losing my mom. And, you know, I'm going to probably get choked up even now. You know, it's been, let's see, I was 36, she was 63. I am now 57. So it's been many years. But what I remember so distinctly is thinking about those 7 stages, which I know you're going to get to, is like, my first response was, yeah, really good plan, God, you know, real good plan. Thank you. You know, here is this Christian woman, didn't drink, didn't smoke, you know, just in 63, you know, that was young. And,
so yours was anger or
questioning? Oh, I was angry.
Angry.
And, you know, I remember too, and I'm so sensitive to this thought when I am writing a sympathy card because, you know, we all mean so well, but I just remember reading these cards and like at the moment, nothing helped. Quite honestly, nothing helped because I was just really angry and sad and, and all those other things. But, then I can, so what I'm also thinking about is, I can go into that more, but what I really remember is coming when I started to realize that I was healing. And it was when I started to really appreciate all the things my mom had been there for me. She would, you know, forget even my childhood, but you know, my relationship with Neil, my marriage, my wedding, I meant, you know, the birth of all of my children, some of my surgeries that I had had before my children. She had, you know, had been there for all of my children. She had met them all. In fact, she literally died a week to the day before my twins turned one. So, but anyway, so, but that's when I, that was a really interesting experience for me because I really remember that pivotal moment of when I started to actually start to appreciate it. So that was for me, the turning point of, I guess, what is that, acceptance maybe?
So now that's interesting because I have the opposite, right? Because my mother, and I actually just talked about this with Judy Collins in the previous podcast because she was sang
Which
at my mother's funeral.
Listen,
yeah, it's a must listen. But she sang at my mother's funeral, and my mother died suddenly of a heart attack on the steps of St. Bartholomew's Church on a Sunday morning. Oh. So on one level, it was very divine. But on the other level, I had just been married about 6 months before. So my mother did not get to meet any of my children, which breaks my heart, right? Because... yeah, we can't even go there.
Yeah.
Right. So I had that shock of a death, which is completely different from how my father died, which was he was very sick with lung cancer. And that was a year of, you know, being with him and preparing him and preparing our family and all of those things, completely different grieving scenarios.
I just have to jump in because that is so interesting, because one of the things that I always said was, you know, my mom was sick and, you know, went through that whole process and, you know that she's not well, and you know that that's ultimately what's going to happen. But I'll tell you what, I will never forget the phone call from my dad, because I told him to call me first, and there's nothing like the finality.
Right. The finality,
the finality
is devastating.
Is the finality.
Right.
But I will tell you, I also do think that shock factor has got to be, it's got to add a depth. I haven't gone through that.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, believe me, this was bad enough. But to have that shock on top of the finality, that just got to add so much grief to you.
Well, it does, because you just get a phone call and someone's like, your mother's dead. And you're
your
like, what
changed.
Are you talking about? I just spoke to her yesterday. This is, you're just in shock.
You're shocked and you can't get your mind around that.
No, there's no getting your mind around it.
Yeah. And what do we talk about in life all the time is, you know, life can change on a dime.
Yes.
And I think death is one of those things that really brings us back to that slap in the face. Like, wow, this is a precious life. This really is, you know, cannot be taken for granted, because things do happen like that.
Right.
That shock.
All right. So here are the seven stages of grief.
These are so fascinating. I bet a lot of people know some of these, but there's...
And we don't have to go into all of them. We'll sort of just
really
list them. But one is disbelief and shock. Yes, I definitely have that.
Even if it's not a shock scenario.
Right.
You know, it's that disbelief.
Because they're gone. Right. Denial. Right. This is like, you just can't accept it.
Yeah. This isn't real.
Right. Yep. Three is the guilt and the pain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that. Because that's when you really, it's the full weight of this has happened and it has to be dealt with.
And there could be guilt too. You know, did I say goodbye? How did I end? Blah, blah. You know, there's so much guilt. Yeah,
absolutely. Then we get into the bargaining. That's the phase like, oh, you know, you're fighting it out with the powers that be. You're asking God to go back and do it again. There's a bargaining element to it, which is interesting.
I want to hear
about that. Or maybe even like, I have to make sense of this. There has to be a way to make sense of this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes
sense.
So both. Yeah, yeah.
Then there's the anger.
Oh, yeah.
The anger phase, right? Like, I just can't.
No,
this
is
this.
Just.
Yep. And so you're mad at God. You're mad at people around you. You're mad at
the
universe, the world.
Absolutely.
Yep. Six is depression. This is when it's just too much. I can't even be angry anymore. I'm just so weighted down by this. I'm getting back in the fetal position and going to bed. And then we get into the acceptance phase.
Yep.
And that's the seven stages of grief. There's other books that have written about
the
12.
Heard that.
But, you know, here's what's interesting is sort of the myth around death, because the top myth is that the pain will go away faster if you just ignore it. Which,
Well, I guess, isn't that kind of like, you know, any other problem, you know, if you just kind of don't think about it and you shove it under the rug, but I can tell you one thing I learned in life. There's nothing to it but to go through it.
That's right. There's no getting over it. You got to go through it.
And I like to say there's no going around it.
Right.
You know,
there isn't. Over, under, around it. You got to go through it.
And if you don't, it will come back to bite you, because it's going to hang on there, babe.
Yeah. Number two myth is it's important to be strong in the face of loss.
Wait, this is a myth.
These are all the myths around grief.
Yeah, you do not have to be strong.
No, there's no being strong.
No.
There's leaning into it and realizing this is one of the worst things that could have happened, and it's okay.
Leaning into it, I like that.
Yep. Yeah. Top three myth, if you don't cry, it means you're not sorry about the loss.
So people, everybody has, we have this like stigma, right? You have to be this certain way. And I think most of us have experienced other people's grief in some way, and sometimes you're like, why are they not so pissed off? Or why are they not so depressed? And you know, people really, truly grieve differently. Just like people laugh at different situations, right? I mean, it's such an individual thing. And the other thing is,
you know, please try not to judge because you don't know really what they're feeling inside. People's inside sometimes, you know, they're maybe protecting that and not showing it to the world. And you have no idea what they do in their quiet moments either.
You know, there was a great on the news. There was a football player. I think he was in either high school or college, and he had lost both his parents to COVID. And he said, because of my deep faith, like, this is horrible and it's sad, but I know that they are with God. Like, he had a deep, abiding faith about that. And that's a completely different take on it than maybe somebody who, that isn't their number one thought. Exactly. It's just the loss. And it's so, you're right, it's so interesting because everyone does have a different philosophy about life and death. And
you know, I'm very envious of that. I mean, I think I have a very strong faith, but I don't know how, you know, that I can just go, okay, this is sad, but you know, maybe as I get older, you know, I don't know. This was a long time ago. But
yeah, true.
To be able to just go, I know they're at peace. And I've heard people say that. And I think, good for you.
No.
It doesn't mean they're not sad.
No.
It doesn't mean they're not hurting.
Right.
But to be able to kind of almost move forward with that faith is
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
All right. Another top myth is that grieving should last about a year.
Yeah, where did that come from?
I do not know.
Who made that up? It's kind of like you can't wear white, whatever.
Yeah, you know, right.
Who made this up?
Right.
It's like, and first of all, I think it lasts a little longer than that, but that's another thing.
Right. Well, it can be shorter and it certainly can be longer. Right.
Right.
I mean, again, just going back to my first experience with that, I remember for a year, my mother had a recording on her work phone and I just kept calling it and calling it because I just was like, I cannot accept the fact that I'm never going to speak to her again. So I would call and just listen to the voice.
And you know, do you know what? I had two things to say. Like one, I think, do you know where I think that might've come from? Like the biblical day, or not even biblical day, like historically, you know, didn't they mourn for a year and wear black for a year? Mm-hmm. Like it might've been something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe that came from
but,
that. Yeah.
You know, that just reminded me of like listening to her voice, you know, one of the things that became one of the biggest treasures that I have of my mom's is her handwritten recipe cards because of her writing.
Yes.
I held them on there. You should see them. They're just, isn't that, so it's so, that's just an interesting, like,
we all have something,
like,
right.
Like what we really treasure later on in terms of like tangible things, you know?
And the last myth is that moving on with your life, if you do, means that you're forgetting about the loss.
Well, that's ridiculous. Right. And because guess what? Also, your loved ones, the last thing they want you to do is to be stuck and to be mourning in such a way that you aren't moving on with your life.
It's both. You're going to move on with your life, but you're always going to treasure them.
Of
course.
Right.
Celebrate them.
You know, for years and years and years, at the day of my mom's passing, I would go to the beach and just sit there. And it was my way of kind of unplugging from the world, being in a beautiful place. And I would just, you know, offer my prayers and my thoughts. And I did that for years and years and years in a row. And it was just my way of just kind of making that a moment for her, you know, without everything buzzing around me. So,
yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I also think it's just so important to, if you have the opportunity to be with someone while they're sick, and dying. It's such a beautiful and dignified time, right? Because we just want to shove death over there. Like, I don't really want to think about it, right? But there's something about making it a sacred process when you have the opportunity to be with somebody while they're dying and transitioning to make that a very special time.
It definitely was. And I definitely treasured it. And I, you know, kudos to my in-laws because I was able to leave every week and I would go out to Iowa and I had four children under 4.5.
Yeah.
And with the help of my in-laws, and I literally would leave and I was completely present. I mean, I sometimes didn't even call my home because I knew everyone was there. And it gave me that opportunity to be with my mom. And, you know, I won't bore everyone, but like I went when my mom was so sick and so frail and we picked out the mother of the groom dress for her, which we actually ended up burying her in.
Wow.
Because my brother got married 5 days later.
Wow.
So that's a whole nother story. But but just treasuring that. But you guys, here's another thing. One of the hardest days was my mom was really hanging on and she really wasn't living at that. You know, it's like, you know, she's really sick. She's not getting out of bed. She's in pajamas. And the pastor said to me, you know, you really have to give her permission to go.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
That was, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
Go. Yeah, sorry. Am I going off? Yeah. I'm going off on a tangent.
So here are the solutions, some solutions that many experts have to offer. And we're certainly not experts in grief. We only have our personal experiences, right. But this is what the experts say. First of all, always turn to family and friends for support. It's not something, you know, as much as you feel like isolating, try to surround yourself with friends and family during this very intense time. The second thing is to accept that many people feel awkward, right? When they're trying to comfort someone who's grieving, they don't know what to say.
Right.
And so if you can keep that top of mind when you're going through it, it's hard for people. It's really hard for people because they don't know what to say. They're not sure. And so, you know, I just think being with someone is the best.
And I just said very rudely, like, you know, and sometimes nobody had any, whatever they said, as beautiful it was at that moment. And
right.
It does come back to you and it does mean so much, all those cards and words. But yeah, just being present is really
is the main thing.
Being
yes.
there for people is it.
The next one is to draw comfort from your faith, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
And for those of us that have faith, that's been a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
Yep. Join a support group,
right?
Get around some other people who are experiencing at the same time so you don't feel like these other people don't understand what I'm going through.
Yes.
Right? So that's a beautiful thing. Certainly, if you feel the need, you talk to a therapist or a grief counselor.
I did that.
Yep. Very important. And then the last, of course, is to really take care of yourself. I remember going when my brother died and just I was overwhelmed by that death and just going and having like a massage and just weeping. And the massage person would be like, what's going on? I'm like, I just need to sit here, just sit here and cry while you give me like a neck massage because I am so wiped out from all of this.
You know, I'm going to interject with something else because again, not just, but I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this. You know, I didn't take care of myself. Mm. I had four children under four and a half and I was devastated with grief, but I was trudging through. I mean, and in some ways, it didn't allow me really to properly grieve. And I mean, I have now, you know, I have now, but you know, I looked back at that, like, you know, I just, as a mother and as a woman and, you know, a friend and a wife and everything, I just went through it and, you know, did my best to get through it. But taking care of yourself is so important. It's, you know, like you said, even a massage, anything you can do, is it a 10 minute walk? Can somebody watch the kids while I just get some fresh air and move my body and pray or cry or talk to the person, you know?
So the other thing you said that was very important, and I didn't know a lot about this, which is why I'm introducing it, but I had always said that sitting Shiva was so important.
Mm.
And I only knew it from movies and stuff that they took the process of mourning very seriously.
Yes.
And it was a very sacred time where they would really mourn. But I actually looked it up so we can all understand it. It's the Jewish tradition which exhorts us to properly mourn the passing of a loved one. And it sets the practices and rituals that facilitate and give expressions to our feelings of loss and grief. That it really believes that mourning is a show of respect to the departed and his or her place in your life. And in other words, that you must mourn, right? But that it also sets boundaries to the mourning. And I love that because it's saying it's so important to mourn and we're going to set apart this very sacred time to do it. But once we're through that period, we are then saying goodbye and we can get on with our life.
I love it. I only know from movies too, but watching in the movies, I think it's really powerful. And I maybe I'm wrong, but I thought maybe the Jewish wear black for a year. I'm serious. I don't, nobody quote me on that.
Yeah.
That could be a movie fact that I have. I don't know. But yes, you're right. Sitting and being with someone. And again, going through the, letting them or letting us ourselves go through that process.
And the thing is about the Christian religion, I always thought that even when I experienced both my parents' death, it's very quick. Like someone dies and they're like, all right, you know, get the funeral ready. You know, my mother died on a Sunday and the funeral was on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was all over by a Thursday. And I'm like, wait, this is like what had just happened. Like it's like whiplash.
Yeah.
And so there's something about sitting Shiva where I'm going to spend a good seven days. And then they have another 30-day period where, you know, we're really still mourning the loss of this loved one. Isn't there something to be said for that?
There is something to be said for that. I don't think our world and our the way that we live our lives now, you know, would respect that in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know if respect is the right way, if we would honor that.
Right.
But you're right. It is fast. But you know, one of the things my mom always said to me too is that we do it right in this country, that the way that we
we do have a funeral, and we, you know, often there's something the night before, whether it's closed or, you know, not, but having that opportunity to actually kind of get your mind around it. Mm. That's what my mom always said about funerals. Like, it gave you that opportunity to, yes, they are departed. Mm. You know, you really got that process. So that is a good thing. You're right. It goes very quickly, but you do get to go through that process of that.
Right. Having a moment.
Having some moments.
So I don't know if this has been helpful. You know, we're sort of...
we're very laymen on this, but...
Right, we're laymen, but we have personal experience, and we hope this has been meaningful. And I know we have a few questions because we had told people we were talking about it. So do you want to do the questions?
Yeah, great. Yes. Jennifer Kay from Ashley, North Carolina. My grandmother passed away this year, and many friends say she is in a better place. Just so we're... Yeah. This makes... it worse. Any suggestions? Mm.
I know that's such a tough one because, again, it goes back to people don't know what to say. So they're trying to comfort you.
And they're trying to comfort you. And right. We just said some people's faith really can just say that and feel like that's good enough for them. So
I think the only advice I would give is just to recognize that's not personal to you, that people are really just trying their best to say something that's meaningful
and comforting
and to take it at that level. And just to thank them and realize maybe they don't understand the depth of what you're going through right now.
Right. And, you know, I feel like you say that makes it worse, and maybe it makes it worse for you because you're like, yeah, but she might be in a better place, but I want her because I know that feeling of like, yeah, great.
Right.
she's better off, but I'm not.
Right. Exactly.
So just understand that people really are coming from a place of compassion and concern, even though it might not, you know, really make you feel better at the moment. Okay, Corey C., Cleveland, Ohio. I feel like I will never get over a recent loss of a pet. Please help with any thoughts. Well, we know that pets can be...
They're like members of the family, of course.
Absolutely. You know, again, get over, you know, well, recent loss. So, you know, you're going to go through your time of missing, you know, and a pet is like a human being in our homes because they're present all the time. Right. And they've been there for
us. And it's unconditional love.
Unconditional love. They've been for us.
Well, that's an extra loss.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. I think it just goes back to what we said before.
Yeah,
you're not going to get over it. You're going to have to go through it. And so go through it. And then maybe once you're on the other side, certainly adopt a new pet.
Yeah.
You know, that joy back in your life.
That happened to us. I had a dog for 13 and a half years and she was great. And then suddenly, and we were blessed with another one.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is the beautiful thing about pets. You're never going to replace that exact pet, but you can get another pet.
Right.
Like a human
being.
Right.
Yeah. That's very powerful.
Right.
Yes, we love our little pets.
We do. Okay. Last one. Jason Z on Ontario, Canada. What do you think of sharing the news of a passing on social media? Oh, good question.
Well, there's a lot of that going on. And when I first saw it, I was sort of shocked. Like, I can't believe these people are posting on social media about the death of their husband or the death of their grandmother. But now I see that that's how people share their news. They share their happy news and they share their sad news.
I have no problem with it. Again, would I do it? I don't know. That's not the point. I have no judgment around that. I think if that, you know, for a lot of people, that social media is very important part of their life.
Yes, that's their community.
That's how their community. And well, God bless. Like, look at us now. I mean, this is, you know, with COVID times, this is a lot of ways people are reaching out. So, you know, I'm not a big social media person anyway, but in terms of sharing a death on social media, I also think that's maybe a very good outlet for some people.
You get immediate feedback.
Right.
So if you're looking for comfort instead of waiting in the the handwritten letter or the pie being dropped at your door, there's something very immediate about it. So in that respect.
And maybe even people that, you know, you haven't heard from for a long time that might not
have known. Right. So it's a good way to.
Yeah. It could be a very powerful, good thing. So.
Yep. So great questions.
Social media sometimes.
Yep. So thank you, everyone. I know this was a tough episode, but I think we covered a lot of ground, and we will look forward to talking to you next week.
See you later. Bye.
Okay, bye.